This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom and a young man named Liam. He's 16 years old. He's experienced the Lord Jesus Christ. He's with us today to do the broadcast. When St. Francis accepted a new young person, he would ask the young person, tell me about Jesus, the Jesus that knows you and that you know. And so what would happen? The young person would tell St. Francis about the Lord Jesus Christ, about his conversion, about how much love he had for him. So today, we welcome Liam, and I want to ask you, Liam, tell me about the Lord Jesus that you have come to know.
Okay. Right here? Okay. The Lord Jesus that I have come to know, for me personally, the Lord Jesus that I know is gentle, and he's kind, and he knows me well, and I know him well.
When did you come to experience the Lord Jesus?
It was an adoration in November of 2023. And we were in adoration, and my confirmation sponsor now, but he wasn't before, Ryan, he came and he prayed over me, and I experienced the Holy Spirit. I experienced Jesus Christ. That was my first experience with him.
Tell us more.
So we were in adoration, and I think it was my second week coming to the church here, and I didn't really know what adoration was at the time, because I just started practicing the faith, and we were in adoration, and everyone around me was, you know, they were crying, they were happy, everyone was just feeling the Holy Spirit, I feel like, and I didn't feel anything, and I was like, well, I want to feel something, because I'm still struggling to know that, that Jesus can come to truly know me and not just others around me. And Ryan came over and he prayed over me, and he didn't say anything, but he put his hands on my shoulder and he prayed over me, and I felt the Holy Spirit, and I began weeping, and I knew that in that moment there, I knew that Jesus was with me and that he was comforting me because of the things that I had been struggling with. And then another person came over to me, and she prayed over me, and she said that Jesus hears your prayers, and that's all she really said. And that's all I needed to hear in that moment. And that's how I knew that the Holy Spirit was, you know, going through her, because that's what I needed to hear, and that's what I did hear. So those were my first encounters with Jesus. But as I've came to know him and learned a lot and grown in my faith, I now love praying over people, and I love now praying over people and sharing the Holy Spirit with them, and you know, bringing them to experience Jesus. Jesus works through me. I'm his vessel.
To know him, to love him, to serve him, but to know him personally, to know him as my Lord, my Savior, my life. To know him, know when Adam knew Eve, in 9 months, they gave it a name. We are called to experiential knowledge. That's what we are called to. Not only to a knowledge in our heads, but experiential knowledge. At the Blessed Sacrament, Liam experienced the Lord Jesus Christ. He had experiential knowledge. That experiential knowledge is for everybody, everybody, everybody. Mine came in 1968 on the last Sunday in August. I experienced the Lord Jesus Christ. I experienced the power of the Holy Spirit. I was filled with God. These are the things that we need to proclaim. It's not only knowing about him. That's not good enough. But knowing him, knowing who he is experientially. Have you had an experience of the Lord Jesus Christ? If you say no, it's for you. You need to ask for it. I want to know you, Lord, not only in my head, but in my heart. What happened after the day that the Holy Spirit touched you and Jesus became real to you?
Well, I'll start with that day, actually, that night. You know, I went home, and I think I told my youth minister, and I told a few other people. But the next days and the next day and, you know, the months and weeks following that, that's when I truly didn't just know Jesus in my head and in my mind, but like you said, I knew him in my heart because in that moment he was with me, knowing me personally. And that was something that I needed because at that time in my life, I didn't feel worthy enough to experience him. And I saw these people around me experiencing them, and I was like, they're more holy than me. They know more about the church than me. They know more what adoration... This was my first time in adoration ever, by the way. I didn't really know what adoration was. I got a little spiel on it before I went in. But I just didn't feel worthy to even experience Jesus, but I wanted him so bad. I was hungry for that, so... That was something that had been going through my mind the days after that I was able to experience him. And he did want to know me on a personal level and not just have me see the people around me. You know what I mean? But I feel like a lot of people it's like they know Jesus from secondhand, not firsthand. A lot of people will see other people and go, well, you know, my friends really has surreal experiences with Jesus, and I don't, but I know Jesus through his experiences. And that's kind of what I was like in those moments, seeing the people around me have experiences, and I would base not my relationship with him off that, but at that point, I didn't have a massive relationship with him. And, you know, I would base Jesus off of that, and then I had a personal experience with him, and now it's kind of just us two, I feel like, when I think about the relationship. It's not other people around me.
So you had a personal relationship with Jesus. This is what God offers through the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, you've heard the gospel over and over and over and over again, but so many people have never experienced the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's available for anyone who wants it. And he comes to us as we need him to come. He came to me through wildflowers. They were showing the glory of God. I saw what these wildflowers were doing. They were glorifying God. They were alive with the power of God. And in that chapel was the Blessed Sacrament. And the Lord said to me, do you see these flowers? How much glory they give me? I said, yes, Lord. He said, how much more glory could you give me? You're a human being. I said, much, Lord. And after that, I said, you can have my life. And the power of the Holy Spirit came. And what began to happen in my life? I began to preach about Jesus. I was just going to be a teacher at a sixth grade school called St. Pius V. And I had been praying, Lord, I don't know you. I do not want to be a hypocrite. The children will know that I don't know you. Please, Lord, I want to come and know you. And that last Sunday in August 1968, I had an experiential knowledge of the risen Lord and of the Holy Spirit. That when I went to my classroom for the first time and taught religion, I called it faith rather than religion. I had experiential knowledge to tell the children about the Jesus that had come to me. And that was the beginning, not the end. That was the beginning. God had more in store for me. I started to preach the gospel to my children in school, sixth grade, parochial school. And then I would go to the cenacle at night to the prayer meeting on a Wednesday and preach to them what I preached to my children. People were changed by the preaching of the word. The Holy Spirit came and great things began to happen. So tell me, what else began to happen after the first day?
So, I don't think it was instant, but it wasn't I didn't see the instant change, but when I think about it now, when I think about my experiences, I think after that first experience, I got a real hunger for it. Like, I wanted more. And with that came wanting knowledge and wanting to know everything about Jesus and research and looking things up and asking people and questions and questions after questions after questions and just wanting to know answers to everything. And just, you know, with that knowledge, I was able to see that when I pray over people, I share the same Holy Spirit that I felt with them. And what comes to my mind is when, I think it's in Romans, when they say the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the Holy Spirit that dwells within you, right? And that's kind of what I think of now when I think it's the same Holy Spirit that was within Jesus, it's the same Holy Spirit that is within me, and it's the same Holy Spirit that I can pour out upon others being a vessel of Christ. And I think that's something that I see a lot now. And I see a lot of people asking me questions and coming to me for answers and looking at me as an example, or looking at me as, hey, Liam, I have my friends texting me, hey, Liam, like, I want to know this. And I'm like, all right, I have the answer for you. Do you actually want to have a sincere conversation, or do you want an answer and want to just go chat a little bit? And I think that, you know, I offer that full knowledge, and I think that I've been blessed to be hungry for that knowledge, because not everybody wants the knowledge. Some people just want the experience, and then, okay, like, that's my experience, but no one really, I feel like not a lot of people, or not a lot of people, but not everybody wants that that next step to take that into their hands and do stuff with it, you know?
You are hungry. Hunger is something wonderful. People being hungry for God. People being thirsty for God. How we need that hunger. That's why we have the scriptures. That's why we have the Eucharist. That hunger for God to come through his word and through the sacrament of his body and blood. We are so in need of that hunger. And you know what? The world hungers for everything but for God. They hunger for sex. They hunger for riches. They hunger for new automobiles. But you see, all those things, even if you receive them, will not fill that gap that only Jesus can fill. All those things will not be able to fill that gap which Jesus can fill. And you see, God has given everyone that gap, that hole in ourselves that only can be filled by the Lord Jesus Christ. God has put that in every person that they would hunger and thirst for the living God. That has been given to you. You've been searching for the kingdom of thingdom. You need to change your searching from the kingdom of thingdom to the kingdom of God. It's so different. It's so different. And this kingdom brings into us the power of the Holy Spirit, that we, as God's children, can pray with the sick and see them get well. That we, as God's children, could preach the Word of God. I remember on a Wednesday night at the Cenacle many years ago how I would preach the cross and resurrection of Jesus. It was all because of the Holy Spirit had been given to me. And it was wonderful. No one taught me how to preach. No one teaches people how to preach. It's that indwelling Holy Spirit that allows us to proclaim the Word of God, that I know Him experientially, and that He wants to know you experientially. That's a real thing. That's a real thing. He wants to know you experientially. Tell me about the group that you pray with.
The group that I pray with? Like my youth group? So my youth group, every Sunday after the 5 p.m. Mass, we go down to the church, to the basement of the church, and it's fun, and it's a good time. We play some games, you know, we talk. And then we enter into a really powerful adoration for the last 30 or 15 minutes of the youth group around whatever time it might be. And it's all fun and games, and it's all silly, but right when you go in there, you can tell it's like everybody just, they know what's about to happen, and they know that it's important and respect should be shown, and it's kind of the whole dynamic changes, and everybody's just so, what's the word?
Ready.
Ready. They're just ready to experience the love that Jesus has for them. And sometimes I look at it, and what's sad to me is that people are only ready when they step into adoration. Do you know what I mean? I feel like everybody should be ready always. And, you know, it's like, just because you step into adoration doesn't mean you should be ready for it then. You got to always be ready for it. And that's something that I see a lot of. But I think that when the people that I know and that I do pray with are ready, it's always so powerful. And we all have amazing relationships. We all have an amazing relationship with Jesus, and we all want to know Him better, and we help each other with that, and we pray over each other, and we cry together, and we laugh together, and we dance together, and we sing together, and all in adoration. And it's just it's an experience that you can tell that only could be an experience if Jesus was centered in it. And I think that's something special, because in all of our relationships, Christ is the center of it. And that's why it's so special when you get to worship with those people and cry with those people and sing with those people, because you're not, that can be one thing in the world, but it's different when you're doing that before Jesus and in, while being in a relationship with Jesus. Makes those things all the more special.
So you're talking about community. How we're in need of community, of not only I have a personal relationship with Jesus, but the community of God has shared with me and with Jesus that they have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
We need community. We need community. I remember at Holy Rosary, people coming who were hungry for God, and there was a group of people that were community, and they became part of the community as they experienced the Lord Jesus Christ. So you have in your youth group a community. Now, I want to tell you, many youth leaders say, well, you know, we don't want to come on too strong with them, so they don't come on at all.
Mm-hmm.
How sad it is, because the world is offering them sin, and the only answer to the world is the blood of Jesus, is the person of Jesus, is Jesus himself. People say, we don't want to come on too strong. Give me a break, because the world comes on strong, and it's so easy to swallow what the world is giving.
Yeah, I feel like that's true. I mean, a lot of people say, you know, you don't want to scare people. You don't want to overwhelm people with all this. But what is there to be scared of? It's just the joy of Jesus. Like, what are you gonna be scared of? The world is a dangerous and scary place, if anything. And Jesus is none of those things. So I've had people, like I said earlier, my friends will ask me questions, and I'll be like, do you want the real answer? Do you want me to just chat it up with you? And if they say the real answer, most of the time when I'm done talking, they say that I've come on too strong, and they say that I'm throwing stuff on them, or that I'm being judgmental, or that, you know what I mean? And I'm saying it how it is, and I think that the world is a much, much scarier place than anything, really. And if you're scared of Jesus, then I don't know. You might need a little bit of help.
If you're scared of Jesus, it means you need to change.
Right.
By his love, by his mercy.
And you can ask him to change. You don't have to run away from it, because you can't run away from it, because he'll always run back after you, because he's the good shepherd.
The good shepherd who gave up his life for the sheep. Jesus, the shepherd of our souls, the shepherd of our bodies, the shepherd of our lives. How we are in need of that experiential knowledge. And we're going to say a prayer with you. If you've never experienced that experiential knowledge, that God himself will come through the power of the Holy Spirit. So if you're in a safe place, you can close your eyes. If you're driving, do not close your eyes. Just pray with me. Lord Jesus Christ, come into my heart. Forgive my sins. Be my Savior and my Lord. I am desperate for you, O Lord. Please come experientially into my heart. Fill me with the love of the Holy Spirit. I'm desperate for you, Lord Jesus. There's no one that can compare with you. I want you. I want to know you experientially. I want to experience your love, the love that you have for me personally. Amen. Now, anyone can pray that prayer in their own words. The words don't make a difference. What makes a difference
is the heart.
Is the heart. You see, Liam knows it's all about the heart. And without the heart, we only have head knowledge of the Lord Jesus.
The words don't mean anything if you don't have... The words don't mean anything if you don't have the right heart and you're not... The words don't mean anything if you don't want them to. You gotta want them to... You gotta want that in your heart. You can't just say it. You can just say it, but nothing's gonna happen because those are just words. Words are words. It's simple as that.
And people need more than words. They need Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. In Season and Out of Season.